Welcome to the fifth of our conversations with women involved in making books about architecture. I'm Helen Thomas of Women Writing Architecture, joined by fellow editor Rebecca Billy. Today we're talking with Ilka Ruby, architect, curator and co-founder of Ruby Press, a Berlin-based publishing house specialising in architecture, urbanism and other spatial practices. Ruby Press was founded in 2008 to harness new critical potentials in architectural publishing beyond the coffee table book. Ilka is joining us today from Berlin to talk about books. Ilka studied architecture at Aachen University and TU Vienna. After practicing as an architect for some years, she moved into the publishing world, working as a graphic designer, editor, and writer. In 2001, she co-founded TextBuild, a Berlin-based agency of architectural communication. In addition to her publishing activities, she has taken part in several curatorial projects, including the Latvian Pavilion, Landscape of Defence, at the Architecture Biennale in Venice last year. Ilka is also an educator. So Ilka, today, may I ask you, why make books?
Thanks for inviting me, and I'm happy to talk about books. I think there are a couple of answers. There's a very personal one and then maybe a more general one. I start with the personal one. Why I do make books, or why I like making books, is just to share my passion for architecture and cities and space with other people. So that's basically the reason to do that. As you said, I was trained as an architect and I love architecture. But when I was doing architecture, it was very much, you are so deep into the making of architecture, which is also great, but I was missing a little bit the reflection on that. There was almost no time to reflect what you've done. It was always, you were so much in all that kind of process of making. So that's why I started stepping a little bit back from the making and going more into talking about architecture, writing about architecture, reflecting about architecture, which in the end led to the publishing house Ruby Press. I mean, that was a long process and I did kind of various things in between. But I think that I ended up doing books and not, say, writing about architecture, but really doing something, again, physical, is probably also because I'm an architect and I like the physical, the book as a physical object as well.
I'm gonna build upon that. I wanted to know then if there is a specific type of book that you particularly enjoy to produce or even to read. Is there a specific type of architecture book that you feel more engaged with?
To be honest, the reading itself, reading architecture books, is getting kind of less and less in terms of my time. The typology of books that I like the most, it's hard. I mean, I like books that have specific topics where a lot of voices come together and discuss a certain topic. That's more interesting to me compared to a monograph, for example. Although I find the monograph is also a very interesting format as a publisher because it is on one hand a very boring thing. So there's always the idea of, okay, how can we make that more interesting? So that's why especially monographs are a challenging way of doing books, because you don't want to have this kind of project portfolio with then some kind of critic writing an essay, introductory essay, and then there you have projects after project. That feels to me always a little bit boring, and also it's then this kind of big part of work, 20 years of an architect, that get this kind of almost like a tombstone thing. When we do monographs, we always think, okay, what kind of story can we tell? And that's also interesting. So we always try to break the typology when we do monographs. So in a way, I don't like monographs, but it's also, I like them when I can play around with them and develop something that is not the usual monograph. That's also fun.
You don't want your book to be just a printed version of an architect website.
Exactly. Right? For example, we did one on Sarawugan where we invited a lot of colleagues and critics of the architects, and we did a tour through their buildings. So the architects would explain their buildings. And then after that, we met and we had a discussion on their architecture without the architects. So the architects were sitting in the audience and it was also a public discussion. And then we transcribed parts of that discussion and brought it into the book. So that's a completely different take on, let's say, a critical essay on an architect's work. These kind of things, to come up with ideas, how to tell the story, to why are you doing what you're doing. That's interesting for me.
But I guess the process is always different for each book.
So we got a lot of proposals, book proposals. And then we usually go through the proposal and think, okay, first of all, what do we find interesting? That's the first thing. But then also think about, is that something that's kind of realistic to realize? And also in terms of budget, which is, of course, very important too. If we talk about bookmaking, we have to talk about money, not only about content. And then it also depends on how far the project is already developed, or if we step in almost as editors, which is what we really like. So if somebody comes to us with an almost finished book, it's usually not that interesting for us. We really like to work with the editors and the authors. It's more kind of editor attitude to bookmaking than just putting an ISBN number on it and distributing it. Basically, the publishing house is very much a one-woman show. But of course, I work with a greater team of various designers and editors, copy editors, and so on. So that's then really depending on project.
I liked what you said about the monograph, that you don't like it, so therefore it's a challenge, which you really enjoy. That resonates, I think, with us in our work too. But also what you said about you like it when there are different voices coming in to talk about a theme. I know that's something that publishers feel quite ambivalent about often, because especially if it's a conference, so everyone's talking about their own thing together. And I think that's a big editorial task, actually, to bring different voices so that they make sense together. I wanted to link that, use that as a segue to ask you about text build. And I don't really know much about it, but it's about architectural communication. Is there a relationship between this notion of many voices and how you reach people?
Text build was more the idea of not only many voices, but also very different formats of talking about and communicating architecture. That could have been books or magazines, but also exhibitions or symposia. So that was the idea of, first of all, we want to talk about architecture and discuss architecture, and we don't want to be fixed on one medium. That was the idea behind text build. In the end, over the years, it kind of shifted more and more to books, but the other formats are still valid. I still like doing exhibitions, for example, or a discussion on architecture. And from a publishing point of view, it's extremely interesting to have these different voices, and also voices that you might usually maybe not expect in an architecture book. For example, we once did a yearbook for Asturias, and we decided to go a very different way. So we did interviews with people who are somehow related to that building. So instead of just having a text by the architects, we kind of really went to the neighbors and the banker who financed the building and various people who are involved in the process of making architecture happen, and then also who have to live with this architecture. And then we had these various points of views, and we brought all those together in the book. So the architects would say something about the building, but then also other people. And of course, there were also critical kind of voices about the house or whatever, and why they think it's not good. But I think that was interesting, especially also for the architects, or at the beginning a little bit, why are these people allowed to say something about my building? I was selected for my great piece of architecture. Why do others spoil the party by saying they don't like it or find it ugly? But that's life. And we should, if we want to open up this kind of architecture bubble to people who are interested in architecture but are not experts, then I think it's important to hear these voices and discuss with them.
I agree. It makes it political then as well, which is a sense I get from your press.
Totally. Architecture in the end is totally political, and because we can't avoid architecture. I mean, everybody has to deal with architecture, at least if you're living in some kind of civilization and not somewhere in the wood or in a cave, then it's around you. And it's important that we understand how it works and why things look like they are, that we kind of know who owns it, who pays for it, who pays if something gets demolished, and what's the impact on society. And I think these are all things that are related to architecture and also design. And I think this broader picture is important to understand. And that's what I like, to link architecture to this really broader questions of society.
It also really links back to what you were saying before about how when we are practicing as architects, we don't really have the time to think. I was wondering if you can maybe expand a bit on the different mechanisms and media that you employ or that you rely on when you deal with exhibitions in comparison to books, because of course they're really different setting, they're really different format.
What is so interesting in exhibitions is that it's so spatial, and architecture is spatial as well. So in a book, you have pages, and it's always, in a way, the same structure. Of course, there's also a lot of kind of details you can change and material and so on. But it's basically, it's always pages bound together. Whereas in an exhibition, you have a space that you can play with. And that's very interesting for especially a spatial topic like architecture is. Exhibitions are a great thing, but it's also a challenge because the real exhibition is, of course, always the project itself, the one-to-one. But if you can't go there, you always have to find another translation of that and make it interesting. If you are able to create this immersive environment where you get a little bit of that kind of spatiality, that's what I often like in exhibitions. I don't like if the exhibitions are a book on the wall. I think there are some exhibitions where there's a book on the wall and you have to read a lot. That's not my take. To read a lot, then you can have the book that goes with the exhibition. And I think it's important, but that also is true for books, that you have various speeds that you can consume. Nobody reads a book from page one to the last page. It's especially with architecture books. You open up and your attention is caught by something. And to have these kind of various moments where you can enter a book, I think that's also important. So when I make books, also exhibitions, I always think about the different speeds you experience something. So there should be, for someone who's flipping through a book or an exhibition in lunch break, but then also for someone who really wants to go deeper and get more information out of it. And it should work for both types or everything in between as a reader or a visitor.
What advice would you have for somebody who wants to make a book?
I mean, first of all, you have to be passionate about it and think about the story you want to tell. So it's really about what is the story? Why do I want to make this book and what do I want to tell? Be clear about that. That's, I think, the best start. Then, of course, it's also with at least this kind of architecture books, which is still kind of niche, except you work with very kind of famous people and there's a big name on it. You also have to think about, okay, where can I get additional funding? Because just by selling the books, usually it doesn't work to refinance the production. Think about also this kind of money thing is important too. And then make a proposal, look at what books are already there in terms of your topic, and then come up with a proposal, send it to us, and then we have a look and we talk about that.